Welcome to our book club. Yay. Okay, so I've never been a part of a book club. I'm excited.
I'm excited too. Yeah. I'm so fun. Yeah. No, this will actually get us to actually commit.
Welcome to the Good Seed Podcast. I'm Allie.
And I'm Rachel.
So we noticed something. We're always recommending books to each other, and we honestly thought that we'd bring you guys into the mix. So officially welcome to our new book series. Every single month, we're going to be recommending some books to you guys. And it's basically like Rachel hasn't read the book that I've read, and I haven't read the book that she's read. And so that way we can have an actual like conversation about it, point you guys in the right direction, then you can kind of pick what book you choose to read for that month. So without further ado.
Woohoo! Welcome to our book club! Yay! Okay, so I've never been a part of a book club. I'm excited.
I'm excited too. Yeah. I'm so fun. Yeah. No, this will actually get us to actually commit to reading at least one. Like, we honestly love it. Like, we hope to...
I love to read. It's just sometimes, like, by the end of the day, it's usually something I do right before I go to sleep, and, like, I just fall asleep.
I know I don't read.
But Audible, you could always listen to Audible, yeah.
Like, I just make the most out of time, so I cannot.
And you're driving in the car, cleaning the house, just like throw on an Audible book.
Go on a walk.
Heck yeah.
Read, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I would definitely say, and even if you guys have like, you know.
Recommendations.
Yeah, we can definitely drop some in the comments. But we honestly are doing this to encourage everyone.
Everyone
should read or listen to a self-improvement book that will challenge you a bit, hopefully get you to shift your perspective and mindset.
Yeah.
So what's the book that you read?
Recently read, it's called Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell. And just the high level overview of this is essentially that you should... Especially whenever you're building a business or you're an entrepreneur, you should structure your business not to grow your business, but to buy back your time. Mm. And I think that this is such a cool concept that can really apply to absolutely everyone. Like, you could be a stay-at-home mom, or you could be a business owner, anything in between, and get really actionable takeaways from this book. Just how to be more efficient. And I think it was really cool for me because it gave me a new perspective of like, just focus on what you're good at and what you enjoy. Mm. And your life becomes 10 times better.
Huh.
Right? Yeah. Like, so for example, like, you don't like cooking. Cool. Outsource it. Right? Like, get someone to cook for you, or get a meal delivery service, or anything like that. And I think it's really cool because I always like to think in terms of like, of numbers and money. And so he talks about what your buyback rate is. Mm. And so your buyback rate, if you take what you make on an hourly basis, it is 1/4 of what your hourly rate is.
Okay.
So say you make $100 an hour.
Yeah.
If you could pay someone to do something for $25 an hour, do it.
Yeah.
And that gives them an opportunity to make money. And it frees up your time and your energy and your headspace to go do what you do best.
Right. I love that.
Isn't that cool?
You're talking about this, and shout out to my boss, Stacey Tushel. In her program, she basically, it's like a business coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And it's meant to like scale your business, build teams. And that's literally verbatim, like the approach.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking to me about this, and it's what she preaches. It's like entrepreneurs, CEOs, focus on what you're good at.
Right. Outsource everything
else. So you can actually multiply your revenue because you enjoy doing it. So you'll be naturally better at it.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, delegate the tasks that you don't love as much.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually tenfold your potential, tenfold your company. I think as business owners, we're always like, oh, let's, I'll do all the things because I'm going to save money. But at the end of the day, that's a really cool approach of it, because like when you can materialize time, right? So you don't really see it out of your bank account. So you're like, I'm saving money.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, are you really? Because like, if you multiply or add on the amount of hours that it took you to cook, for example, this week, how much more money would you have made if you were actually working versus getting a food delivery? And you actually told me
I did that. Yeah.
Right? So yeah. What's been your feedback from it, actually implementing it?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Just something so small as getting a meal prep service. Instead of me sitting down to try to plan out my meals and then ordering my groceries or going to the grocery store and having to go to two or three grocery stores to get all the different ingredients that I need or want, or they're out of things, or da-da-da-da-da, and you run all over town, then you get home, and then you prep it all, and then you spend time cleaning the dishes, and like, it would take, I don't take much time away from work. Like, I'm so intentional with my time. If I'm not working or working out or sleeping or intentionally spending time with people that I love or intentionally spending time resting, right? Because we need some of that, unfortunately. Yeah. We don't like to rest, but we need it. Like, this was just not adding value to my life. It was just like, oh my God, great. I get to spend 5 hours today on a Sunday afternoon when I could be doing literally anything else. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to be meal prepping for the week. And whenever you do the math, it saves me so much money, because time is money.
And then what you spent on groceries.
Yes, I think I've been spending less on groceries because I'm actually eating the things and I'm not wasting things. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going in, I'm like, oh, that sounds good, and throw it into the grocery. Like, it's just very simplified and it's very intentional.
That's awesome.
And oh my gosh, yeah, I'm in my non-cooking era and it's amazing. I mean, I enjoy to cook, but if it's just me,
but it felt like what's a chore before.
It's
I
a
think.
Chore. Yeah. Yeah, it's not something that if I had a more leisurely life, I probably would enjoy cooking, but it's just, yeah, it's a chore to me at this point. So yeah. I just stopped doing it.
That's awesome. I need to read this book.
It's so good. It's so good. So it walks you through, again, it was tailored a bit towards entrepreneurs and business owners, but I think the principles can be applied in absolutely everyone's life. Mm. Right? So it walks you through how to hire an assistant. He always says, if you don't have an assistant, you are an assistant, mm-hmm. which is true. Mm-hmm. He walks you through, he calls it the camcorder method. So we were talking about this earlier, where if you're training someone on something, you just set up a Loom video and you walk someone through it. And then now they know how to do it. Like, it didn't really cost you any additional time because you were already going to be doing the thing. Mm-hmm. So just teach someone how to do the thing, record it.
So they can go back to it.
Instead of calling you. Exactly. Yeah. And he talks about how he has, I think he calls his a playbook. Some people call him SOPs. He's like, I have a SOP or a playbook for absolutely everything in my life.
Systems and processes.
Because it's like, it's less things that you have to think about. Mm-hmm. And then I started translating that mindset into everything in my life of like, just how can I simplify? How can I use less brain power? Because we don't have infinite energy.
Right.
We like to think we do, but we don't. Mm-hmm. So how can you simplify and have processes in place for everything in your life, from running your household to getting up in the morning? And that's the cool thing about habits too, which we can do a whole another podcast on that. Mm-hmm. But whenever you have these systems and processes and habits in place, you don't have to spend any brain power on it. And then you can use that brain power on the things that you actually enjoy and that make you the most money. Mm-hmm. So it was such a cool book, and it's very tactical and practical.
I'm going to like it.
You're going to love it.
Yeah.
You're going to love it.
I'm excited to read it and see how I can I think that I'm very strategic, especially with my kids. Like, for example, every single night when we go to bed, when I put them to bed, I lay out the uniform on their floor, so it's easier for them to obviously reach their midgets, their tiny people. So every single morning, whenever I wake up and I wake them up, I can go back to my room, get ready, and they're getting dressed by themselves.
That's smart.
So they take their pajamas off, put their uniform on, and they already know that they have to bring the dirty clothes to the laundry room. So these are a three and a five-year-old, and they both do it, right? Now, obviously, they're toddlers. They're going to jump around, play in the middle of putting on a shirt and some pants, right? So I have time to shower, get dressed, do my makeup while they're putting on one shirt and one pant. But they get it done. because they know the process.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, wake up, take pajamas off, put clothes on, and then go to mom to tell her that you're done. And that takes about like 40 minutes. So
plenty of time for you to get ready.
Plenty of time. And yeah. I think that before, it would be like me getting up, being super tired, just barely being awake, having to shower, but at the same time having to get them dressed.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I didn't have a system in place. So with kids, for example, I'm super strategic about certain things, and I create routines because they feed off of them. Like, they pick up on them so fast. It's kind of annoying. And because it happens, like, even if it's not a great habit. So it's been very helpful because I've been able to get my time back too and be mm-hmm. less stressed in the morning.
Yeah.
Because I'm not rushing. I'm not taking an hour and a half to go out of the door. I'm just like, shower, makeup. Then by that time, they're ready.
Mm-hmm.
Do Sophie's hair, we're out. Like, we're out of the house and in the car literally 10 minutes after I'm done. So it's been really cool. So I think that I'm going to pick up a couple of things from the book to see how I can even simplify my life even more.
Yeah.
Having toddlers and having to obviously, like, get them dressed, get them ready, get myself ready as well.
100%.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Does it have any, like, parenting tips? Or is it more for, like, entrepreneurs?
You know, don't think it had necessarily parenting tips, but he does talk about a lot of just being intentional with time. And always talks about, he's like, build a life that you don't grow to hate, build a business that you don't grow to hate. Most people give up on a business.
They get burnt out.
Because they get burnt out, because they're exhausted. And it's just not working, and they're not making the money, and da 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 da. And if you implement these practices where you're only really doing what you enjoy doing, why wouldn't you love it?
Yeah, why would you get burnt out?
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think that the practical tips that he has in there are very translatable from business to household. And he talks some about household too, and he talks about how he intentionally, he owns lots of very, very massive companies and does a lot of things, but he says no to a lot of things, and he's very intentional with the time that he spends with his family.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of translatable things, but he doesn't necessarily have parenting tips per se.
Okay.
But yeah, also since that book, I've started, whenever I edit the podcast, I started to, because if I'm tired and it's midnight and I just now I'm getting around to editing the podcast, I'm liable to make some mistakes.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to put together playbooks or SOPs so I can just reference it as I'm doing it and make sure I'm not missing steps.
Nice. Okay.
So, and then if when we were to hire someone to help us, then it'd be pretty easy to get them on board and train them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they're beneficial for you now, as well as in the future, whenever you go to outsource.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's so simple.
Yeah.
It's so simple, but it's very effective. Even he talks about packing lists. Hmm. Like, he has packing lists, like warm 4-day trip packing list, warm 8-day trip packing list, ski trip 7-day packing list. He says, if you're going to do it once, you should never do it again.
Wow, that's really cool.
Is that not so smart?
Yeah, it's like you're doing it. You might as well, like, record it. Like, you might as well track it. Like, what you, Stacey always says, like, what you can't, and she says, like, what you can't measure, you can't track.
What gets measured gets managed?
No, that's not what she says.
No.
But it's very much in this, like, in this train of thought.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because if not, you can't really scale. Like, if you're doing all the things, especially the things that you don't like to do, like, you can't really scale a company correctly, like, the right way. Like, you have, so it's really cool actually, because she has this training, and it gives you access to, like, this personality quiz. And then it's like, so for example, let me ask you this, for a social media manager at a company, do you think they should be visionary? Or do you think they should, which is creative, right? Mm-hmm. Like, new ideas. Or do you think they should be operator, which is checking off a to-do list, getting things done? Which one do you think?
I think ideally you would have someone with a little bit of both. Like, they could see the broader picture and be able to be creative, but they're also very tactical and detail oriented to be able to execute a repeatable task on a daily basis.
Yeah, that's exactly what she said. She like they should be a little bit of both.
Right.
So she's like, if you have a CEO who has a leads like the top eight players, like CEO is usually visionary role. Like I see my brain very much visionary, like creative. Like,
yes, you do not.
Idea. I just need people to execute. Idea. And yes. I'll execute it, but like I'll execute 10 at the same time. Because like I think that I can, right? So that's vision. I have a visionary brain.
Yes.
And I need people around me that I can hire to be operators. So I can be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I hire people that are visionaries, nothing's gonna get done.
No.
Right. So that's what she was saying. Like, I'm a visionary, so I make sure that the people around me are operators to a certain degree, depending on the role.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole personality quiz about this.
That's cool.
And it's pretty cool because, like, you can have a little bit of a mix,
mm-hmm.
right? But it's a thing that she makes her staff go through. So she knows if they're going to actually be successful in the role.
That's smart.
Yeah, it's super, super cool. So I think that it's on the same like train of thought of this book. I'm excited to read it.
I'll also say when he talks about hiring, he will hire. How does he phrase it? He has very like cutesy ways of saying it. I don't remember. But basically, if he's going to hire someone for a role, he's going to literally pay them to do a job. Basically, it's a test. And he doesn't expect you to work for free. Yeah. Really?
It's like a 30-day contract.
He didn't necessarily specify. I think it depends on the role, right? But like if it's a social media manager, maybe he would have you put together a reel or a campaign or whatever. And he would pay you for your time.
Right.
And he would have multiple people doing that. He wants to make sure that you guys can work well together before he would hire you on as a full-time employee.
Yeah, so her approach to this is basically you have a 30-day contract with me. And she'll like, so she'll interview, let's say, 10 people. Out of those 10 people, three of them are like pretty good choices, right? I really can't see like which one's better than which.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't want to shoot myself in the foot, pick someone that I haven't implemented anything with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll hire three mm-hmm. at the same time. And mm-hmm. I'll give the three the same 30-day contract, which is going to be for a lower rate than your actual hourly rate if you get to pass your 30-day contract. So I'll give all of me to you for 30 days, but you have to bring your A game for 30 days because this will be the determining factor mm-hmm. if you reach, like, if you can sustain the job or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she'll then compare because mm-hmm. she's like, you can have someone that has a really, really high quality skill set, but they're really slow.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can have someone that's really fast, and they don't provide quality,
mm-hmm.
right? So she's like, so if I have three for 30 days, I can probably, one's mm-hmm. gonna stand out.
100%. And then you get to know their personality and if they're a good fit and
uh-huh.
if you guys communicate well and you vibe and da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Exactly.
So
if they fit into the culture of the company, like it's really cool because it's like, we're like, she's like, I'm giving them the expectation. So at the 30-day mark, if it's not a fit, I already told you
mm-hmm.
what was
it. And they were paid for their time.
And right. like, it's really cool. I really, really love her. She's super blunt and like transparent. I love that about her because she's like, hey, I told, like, you know, worst case scenario, we don't fit.
Mm-hmm.
Or worst case scenario, I tell you, hey, like, I really feel like you would be really, really successful here in another department that I'm not really looking for a role right now. But is there any way I can keep you on the email list and I can reach out to you in a year from now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really cool. Her whole process about hiring, this became all of a sudden a business conversation, but her whole process about hiring is, for example, like, ask people for a 3-minute video. If you have 50 resumes, are you going to go through all of them? Like, that's a piece of paper. Would you not rather see the person's mm-hmm. personality, confidence, skill set, traits, mm-hmm. tact?
How do they communicate?
Yeah. How they show up, their appearance.
Yep.
Do they care?
Yep.
They don't care. They're probably going to record themselves driving
yep.
while doing the interview video, right? So it's like, ask a couple of like strategic questions And one of her really, I thought this was so good. She was like, I always ask people, tell me about a really, really stressful period in your life. And there's two reasons for that. She wants to see how you manage stress. And she also
and what you consider stressful.
What you consider stressful.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a great one.
I like that.
It's a great one. She's
I like that.
Because if you tell me that you're stressed out about something that I think it's a
stupid,
piece of cake, I'm going to be like, you're probably not going to do well in my company.
Yeah.
Right? So that's a great, I think that's a great question to ask anyone,
that
actually.
Is, on a date, that's a good
on
question.
A date, yeah, that's a great question. So I love her whole hiring process. Mm-hmm. Because it's very strategic.
Yeah.
So she's like, okay, you get resumes. I automate an email that says, if you don't hear back from us in 2 weeks, it's because mm-hmm. we moved on with another person, right? Mm-hmm. So don't waste your time saying no to people, mm-hmm. but also don't be rude and do not reply. She mm-hmm. automates this email automatically, mm-hmm. right? She's like, I asked them for, let's say three 5 minute video, answering three strategic questions, mm-hmm. okay? And then that's when she gets to the first interview, like, which is for whatever manager that is. Mm-hmm. And then if they have a second interview, that's with her. Mm-hmm. First thing she's looking for is this person is going to fit in the culture of the company.
Yeah.
She's like, important. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
And then after that comes in like skill set, you know, mm-hmm. Like all the things that come into the actual mm-hmm. role of it.
Yeah.
But it's really cool because like prior to you, and I remember like Nate. And worry, babe. He made me take, or he didn't. I don't. Should have said he made me. He told me to take a personality quiz mm-hmm. because he was starting the interview process. So he was like, "Let me see what I should be looking, you know, for." And coincidentally, we had a lot of similarities in our quiz. So it's really cool because you can actually go to data. Mm-hmm. Instead of like, I feel like you're very successful because your performance and your skill set is this mm-hmm. and that, you can actually go back to a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. So it's really awesome. Like, look for personality quizzes mm-hmm. too, because I think that gives you like another totally different perspective mm-hmm. in like what to look out for, what they're going to be successful at. Because another thing that she says that people constantly, constantly do in their business is she says, we hire out of capability, not availability. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I want to set you up for success in your role. Mm-hmm. So if you're not, like, this is not the thing that you love to do, I'll probably notice really, really quick. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be able to also point you in the right direction. Mm-hmm. So just be mindful about that, because a visionary is probably not going to do well in a role that has, like, director of ops.
Right. Yeah. So like for the listeners who aren't hiring people or running a business, like, yeah, I think that kind of just going back to the book here, then we need to talk about your book of just being super efficient and then refocusing your life on the things that you enjoy mm-hmm. and then outsourcing the rest and getting these systems in place. Essentially, it's just how do you make the most of your time and then maximize your energy?
I love that.
Because all of that is just finite, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's a super cool book that, like I said, even a stay-at-home mom, I think, could find a lot of value in that.
Yeah.
And so could an entrepreneur. So I would recommend it to absolutely everyone. I think it's brilliant. It's just a brilliant approach. Tell us about your book. Yes.
It's called Mindset by Carol Dweck. And it grabbed my attention because two, like, very influential people mentioned it. So I was like, okay, let me just read it. It's about mindset. Mm-hmm. Has great reviews. It's actually
I'm excited to learn about this.
Psychology. And so she basically, like, the book really focuses on two types of people.
Okay.
Per her, right? Per Carol Dweck. And it's like, you either have a fixed mindset or a growth mindset.
Oh, yeah. I've heard
and so she, it's about business, parenting, relationships. So she's like, for example, a spouse that has a very fixed mindset is going to probably be closed-minded in terms of like solution focus, let's say, or growing from something. And if they are married to a growth mindset person, they're probably not going to see eye to eye in a lot
of
things.
It's never going to work.
It's never going to work because like they're both going to have different goals. Nothing wrong with either, right? But at the same time, like she basically tells you, and I think that it made me very aware of, I sort of like in my season of life, like I can dive into a fix and then I transfer over to growth. For me, that's the like what I got from it. And it made me aware that I always have to reach for the growth mindset. So for example, she was like, I asked, and she did multiple studies in a lot of big like universities across the literally internationally. And she's like, so for example, I asked a group of growth mindset people, what would you do if you started the day off? And don't actually quote me on this, but it's something along the lines of, what would you do? You start the day off and you go to your car, you get a ticket, you go to get your test result. You're in college, you get your test result and you got a C-, but you're an A grade person. And something else happened. Oh, and then a friend called you and then you called a friend to like reach out and like just emotion dumped on them, right? Like rant for a bit because you're having such a stressful day and your friend didn't pick up. Like that was your day. What do you think? Like what would you do? What do you think the outcome of your day was? Like how you start off the next day, something like that. So the growth mindset people were like, well, I would probably think, oh, so the ticket you got because you were late, so you parked at a place that you weren't supposed to park in, right? So she was like, I would probably think that I should start getting up earlier so I can, you know, not be late, not rush, not be stressed. I should, then that would have saved me from getting that parking ticket, right? And then if I got a C-, probably because I didn't study enough.
Mm-hmm.
So what did I do to not study enough? And like, how can I study three times as more so the next test that I take, I can ace it? And then for my friend, like I would probably say, hey, maybe they're having a day. Maybe they're sick, you know, maybe like they didn't reach out to me. So let me just reach out to them and text them and say like, are you okay? Mm-hmm. And then the fixed mindset were like, right, I had a crappy day.
Yep.
Like, you know, like if I did a C-, then that's probably not the right career path for me. Then I probably should like go back and actually see like, is this the thing that's made for me? So fixed mindset people are like, so another perspective of this is like sports.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of athletes that think that they were born into whatever skill they need to have to mm-hmm. perform well. And that this is just a thing that they fell upon.
Mm-hmm.
But she talked about Muhammad Ali. And he is, I believe, one of the biggest names out there in the boxing space, right?
He's from Louisville. Shout out.
Oh, he is? Yeah. Okay, that's awesome. So I didn't know that. So he started and he was horrible. Horrible at boxing. And the only thing that got him to actually perform perfect and eventually be the best was his strategy. So he didn't know how to box, but he knew how to study people. Mm. And he would study your weaknesses. He would study your moves. He would study how many right punches you would do before throwing out the left. And so he would reverse engineer that
mm-hmm.
and bring it into the fight, and he would win. And people were like, this guy doesn't even know how to stand correctly. Like, this guy doesn't even know how to square up. Like, how is he beating these people?
That's cool.
And he was like, I study and I keep going and mm-hmm. I get better. And so Michael Jordan, for example, he was, and I bet that these people are like regretting this every single day of their life. He actually got denied from like the two top like first schools that he applied for. To get into like basketball, they declined him. They were like, you're not good enough. And then he started, that got him to actually practice more.
That relentless, never give up.
Hunger.
Yep.
But it comes with a growth mindset because if I think that I need to be born into a skill to be good at something, I will never be good at anything.
100%. 100%. So, I know a lot of people. Yeah. Like that too. Yeah. I think it's also the ownership side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I heard you talk about the person who had the crappy day and they're just like, gosh, life just hates me, complaining about it. That's a victim mentality.
I'm like, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah. Like, okay. And then the growth mindset, it's all about ownership of like, I'm in control. What can I do? What do I need to do better?
Mm-hmm.
And that's truly the separator.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Do you feel like – a person with a fixed mindset can become someone with a growth mindset? Does it talk about that?
Yeah, she does. So she's like, this actually, like, you can perfect any skill, including having a growth mindset.
Yeah.
You just have to be aware of it, be open to it, and break through that limiting belief, basically, because it is a limiting belief. So yes, 100%. You can definitely start off as a fixed mindset person and become a growth mindset person. So this book kind of gives you, I think that the thing about books is that you can probably say right now, like, you're listening to me and you're like, I already know this. But it's not until you have it in your face that you're like, because I very much think any time of the day you ask me and I'm like, no, I'm a growth mindset.
I was about to say, was there something that challenged the way that you thought?
Absolutely. Yeah. So like different seasons, because right now, like, I could tell you, who doesn't have a day that you're just like, this is a crappy freaking day, right? But it's like the time lapse of your ability to get your head out of your ass.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you're fast at getting your head out of your ass,
life will be much better for you.
Life will be much easier, right? So it's like, how long does it take you to get your head out of your ass? Like, that was for me. I was like, got to get better at this. It's a skill set.
Yeah.
So the more aware you are of it, the more you're able to, again, proceed with, like, okay, what's the next step?
Mm-hmm.
Like, cool to bitch about something. No, like, I'm not saying don't call a friend and rant about something. Hey, we all do it. Okay, now
blow off some steam. Give yourself 30 minutes and then let's go fix it.
Let's just focus, solution focus, right?
Yep.
So it's really cool because, like, I think I'm growth mindset. And then with the book, like, she started because she plays different scenarios. And I was like, crap, like, I do fall into that fixed mindset sometimes.
Mm, yeah.
You know, because when you're in a fixed mindset, you just think. So she's talked about a lot of people that are high achievers, right? And she was like, well, such and such, like Sally, she was great at volleyball, let's say, and she was always the top player. And then something happened, she transferred to a different college, and there was a top player there. And because she thought that she didn't have to modify or perfect her skill set, she stayed where she was, and eventually that got into her ego because she wasn't the best anymore. But she didn't feel like she needed to practice to be the best again because she thought she was born into it, which eventually got her to quit volleyball, like, lose sight of her dream. And now she's like, you know, whatever she ended up doing with her life, not regarding volleyball. Like, it's like these fixed mindset people tend to burn themselves out. Because they think that it's a skill that they, like, it's a gift.
Right.
And there's a balance. Like, there are people that are naturally good at a lot of things.
For sure.
Don't get me wrong. I feel like that, too. I'm like, I'm naturally good at, like, what? Like, ideas, building businesses, or whatever it is that I feel like I'm. Sales, right? I'm naturally good at it. But also, if I get into the fixed mindset of, I'm naturally good at it, and that's why I'm the best, I will never have room to grow.
You're never going to actually be the best. You're going to be the best in your mind, but on a broader scale, you're never going
to
be.
I'm never going to be able to grow.
The master,
you'll reach that roof, like that ceiling, and then you'll stay there, like, and then you'll cap your ability to grow. So, like, for me, it's been sort of, like, challenging coming into, like, the sales space and getting into, like, different businesses and different roles. And right now, like, I'm getting one-on-ones from this great guy that he's like, hey, like, this is what you're doing wrong. And what if you, you know, instead of telling people this, why don't you
ask them?
Instead of saying a statement, why don't you, like, ask them a question about the statement that you want to make? And I'm like, oh, cool. Like, I didn't look at it from this perspective. Or, like, I did this for this reason. And he's like, yeah, but the outcome of that, is it really that or is it this? And I'm like, yeah, it's probably that.
You have to be challenged to grow.
It's awesome because, like, I feel like I really enjoy it. Like, I enjoy the feedback because I think that a lot of people that probably have listened to our podcast once in a while probably think that these egotistic bitch. But, like, I actually feel that, yes, I'm very confident, but also I'm humble, like, enough to know that there's room for improvement. And, like, I'm open to criticism. Now, mind you, I would probably not take criticism from someone that's not doing better than me. So, but having that said, I'm still open to, like, feedback and letting people, like, tell me their top.
Learning.
Yeah, learning.
And improving. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's cool.
So yeah, it's a really cool book because I think that it challenges your mindset. It gets you to think, okay, am I always in a growth mindset? Am I sometimes in a fixed mindset? And how can I fix that? Because growth mindset, there's no, like, the sky's the limit for you.
Yeah.
And it's really cool because she literally studied kids from being toddlers. And you have a mindset when you're like a 2-year-old. Like, she was like, I was impressed because they were toddlers that were 4 and they went for the harder puzzles than
interesting.
The kids that went for the bigger piece puzzles because they were easier.
Oh, that is interesting.
So, and then the ones that were relentless kept trying the little pieces until they eventually figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wanted to do another one. And she was like, why would these kids do this? Like, they're kids. And so you are sort of like, I wouldn't say more. It might be a thing that you're born into. It's a thing that you can definitely grow out of.
Yeah.
Just like genetics.
A bit of, I would be interested to see if that, the nature versus nurture, like probably they
it's a
pick,
combination
it
of
probably,
both.
Yeah, I would say it's a combination, but I'm guessing even at 2, they probably picked those habits up from their parents.
Well, it's genetics
right?
too, I think,
yeah.
have a huge role here because, for example, like compare my 2 kids that are so different.
Mm-hmm.
They both have a little bit of me, right? And like, I'm trying to reframe my 3-year-old, which she's such a character, and she is
so strong-willed.
She's so resilient. So that's my
very reframe. Resilient.
Very resilient. Yes. Very resilient, and I exactly want that of her.
Yep.
I want her to be a resilient woman.
Yes.
And I want it. And she was born like this.
Yeah.
Right? Because if it were me, my boy would be resilient too. And he's like such a different type of soul. Like, he is just.
He's a sweetie pie.
He's just like, there's.
They're just vastly different.
Polar
yeah.
opposites, right? And so I see her, I see a lot of her dad in her.
Mm.
Because he was very resilient. Like, very resilient. And I'm also very resilient, right? Mm. But I think that he was even more than me. So I see a lot of him and her, and then I see a lot of me and Matthias.
Mm.
In terms of like, Matthias is very analytical.
Mm-hmm.
Matthias is very logical. The other day I went to pick him up and his teacher told me, you can't get away with anything with him. I told him that we were in a magic carpet and that we were gonna be in Aladdin's carpet and we were in a library. And he looked around and he's like, this is my classroom. Just like, he kind of killed the dream for everyone in the room, but like, I couldn't fight that because
yeah.
we were in a classroom.
Yeah.
And I was telling them.
You can't get nothing by that kid.
No,
let me tell you.
It's wild. And so it's really funny because like now it's like, what mindset will they actually like inherit? Is it going to be the fix? Is it going to be the growth? Like, it's going to be really cool for me to like watch them, I guess, evolve.
Yeah.
And also me having this knowledge, setting them up for success as well.
Yeah.
Because I do think it's also a thing that I imply with them too. Like, Matthias is like, mommy, I can't do it. Can you help me? And I'm like, no, figure it out. Like, try
I think
again.
Instilling
try
those,
again.
Yeah, at the young age, instilling the resiliency of, I loved how you just fell down and you got right back up again.
Yeah.
Love that. Like, encouraging them in the right ways to have that growth mindset. That's
I think that
cool.
I get overly excited about things that I really, really want them to stick to.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps because they're expecting your reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, whenever they're done cleaning up, they come so excited. So excited. They're like, mommy, we're done. And then, like, I, like, scream and, like, hug them.
Yeah.
And then what do they want to do? They, you know, they want to clean up because it's like, I'm so excited
right.
about it. So I attach that feeling to, like, a positive reaction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Matthias, now I'm teaching him, he has to open up every single door for every single girl. So every morning he opens up the door, like our front door for
Aww,
me and Sophie, and he
sweet.
Waits until we walk out of the door, and then he closes the door. That's his job.
That's his
now.
Job.
So he's like, mommy, boys open doors for girls, and I'm like, every single door.
That's their
every
job.
Every single door. So it's really cool to like be able to kind of like direction them.
Yeah.
And set
That's
them up
cute.
For success because like, yeah, it's totally, it's really cool to give them problems to solve.
Yeah.
Because it gets them to that again, challenge,
mm-hmm.
growth. Like I learned this
We
skill,
love a challenge.
Confidence.
We don't back down from a
yeah.
challenge. Yes.
Self-esteem. It comes
yep.
from developing a skill and you figure it out and you're like, cool, I got good at this. Like,
what else?
Next.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool.
I love that book. I definitely.
I'm going to read it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to read
it. Add
that one
to my Amazon cart. Mm-hmm. My Audible.
Yeah.
I love it. Cool. Take it off. Well, thank you guys for listening. We hope you enjoyed our very first episode of our book club series, and tune in for it again next month. And be sure to follow us along on social media at The Good Seed Media. We're posting behind the scenes content and just fun everyday life. So we hope you guys follow along. And if something resonates or you like it, please share. That's the only way we grow. See you next week. This one's not depressing. We're doing book club episodes.
We're gonna do a book.
Isn't that-
so I don't say hey guys.
Nope.
I say.
Oh god. What was it that you said? Like.
Okay.
We realized something.
We noticed. Okay, it's because.
Are we gonna be okay? Yeah. All right, cheers. Sponsor us.
Bought three for this morning.
Should have bought four. Should have brought a case. All right, are you good?
Mm-hmm. Don't believe her.
Okay, feeding off of each other, different books, recommending it books like every. Okay, let's start over. That started really good, though.
You were really doing something there. Yep. That was good. That was good. Keep it going.
Okay.
Oh. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and follow along with us on social media at The Good Seed Media. And stay tuned for all the updates and more information.